63-year-old Brooke Gowan lights a camp stove on her patio. She's heating her first dinner cooked entirely with earthquake emergency supplies. Tonight's menu, a can of clam chowder with canned salmon mixed in, and a side of canned green beans.
Hope I don't have any aftershocks. Our dinner will go all over.
Gowan knows she faces some challenges when it comes to surviving an earthquake. She gets by on very little income and has physical limitations from sports injuries.
Climbing over things is very difficult for me. I have to kind of hang on to my leg and help it up and down a lot. So if I were climbing over debris trying to get out of the house, that would be... And I realize that. I know that ahead of time, you know, I'm in trouble.
But Gowan does have a lot of survival skills from years of camping. She has first aid training and lots of supplies that she wants to use to help her neighbors. She's even prepared to treat her cat Kiki in a disaster.
I have two of these pet emergency care handbooks. They are neat.
Gowan relies on medication to get through the day, and she knows that after an earthquake, her supply could run out.
There's not a whole lot that I can do. I don't have the money to stockpile. My insurance won't cover it. They only fill prescription when it's due.
John Warner chairs an emergency preparedness committee in Portland. He says access to emergency supplies of medications is a real problem, especially for people with low income who can't pay for them out of pocket. His advice for people who know they'll need meds after an earthquake is to treat their supply like a tank of gas in their car and always keep it at least half full.
Then if there was a disruption, you'd have enough to get through a couple of weeks if there was a disaster before the pharmacies are opened up again.
But Gowan doesn't have a car, and that's another potential issue for her. It's good to know where to go in an emergency, she says. But she doesn't know how she'd get there.
My neighbors don't have cars. And, you know, many people in emergencies, always they think about themselves. They don't go around check on their neighbors. Do you need a ride to a shelter? They're just gone.
Emergency management officials say they're hoping just the opposite will happen, that neighbors will help people with disabilities and those with few resources in the chaotic days after the big one hits. Carmen Merlo is the director of the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management.
And so, as an individual, I may not have all the supplies myself, but I can rely on my neighbors, my faith group, my other social network that I'm involved with to help out.
Experts say one way people with disabilities should prepare for an earthquake is to make arrangements now with a friend or relative who's able-bodied, someone they can trust to check on them and make sure they have what they need. For Gowan, that person may be her friend in Gresham, who has a car and a wood stove.
She's talked about, you know, if the power goes out, she'll come get me. So I think I would probably be one of the first people on her minds to come try to get.
After a weekend of living off her emergency supplies, Gowan says she doesn't want to worry about how bad things could be after an earthquake. She knows how to make a fire starter out of recycled toilet paper rolls and discount candles. She knows how to conserve water and bandage wounds. But after tasting her salty canned soup and giving up on her canned green beans, she does plan on replacing her emergency food supplies with something she'd actually want to eat. I'm Cassandra Profita reporting.